Presenting the world's greatest mysteries. And now, your host.
This is Basil Rathbone. Any reporter who can win a roving commission to discover the mysteries behind the secrets of one or several countries has certainly won his position because he has that special something that recognizes a story even before it is a story. In the likeliest and unlikeliest places of Europe, Mike has discovered intrigue and mystery and has searched behind the veil for the stories that will make the news. Not without danger, these stories have been transmitted to his European headquarters in Paris, and from there they have found their way into newsprint to excite the world. But in a moment, let Mike tell you himself of one such adventure.
Presenting Europe Confidential.
You better tell me where I can find this girl in Tangier.
Blimey, you're going there?
It's on the cards.
Well, if you see the old so-and-so, tell him Herb is still kicking along. Ask him what's wrong with his writing arm.
Sure, I'll do that. What about the girl?
Oh, she used to work in a cabaret called the Devil's Tooth. You'll find it all right. Everybody knows it in Tangier.
In a moment, we'll bring you Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy, the Paris correspondent of a famous American newspaper, in another exciting story in our series, Europe Confidential.
This is Mike Conoy. It started quite by accident. A small advertisement published in my Paris paper at the request of a London law firm. The advertisement read, "Anyone knowing the whereabouts of Raymond Shortley, an Englishman, age 35, believed living abroad, is asked to communicate with Page and Parker, solicitors, Farringdon Lane, EC3, London." Well, my editor was intrigued by the ad, and the following night I was on a plane to London. The offices of Page and Parker were in an old part of the city, within a short distance of the Thames and the Tower of London. I arrived for my appointment and was shown into the office of the senior partner, Mr. Joshua Page.
Sit down, Mr. Conoy. I had a communication from your editor, and I understand you're here about the matter of the Shortley estate.
Yes, sir. My chief thinks there might be a human interest story in this, and he's asked me to get what details I can.
Well, I've no objection to supplying them. If your paper's interested, it might find our young man so much quicker for us. Not that this kind of thing would have been in favor when I first started in practice, but one must move with the times.
Yeah. Can you tell me about Raymond Shortley and why you're looking for him?
Of course. Make yourself comfortable. Smoke if you wish.
Thank you very much.
Now, Raymond Shortley. Well, to the best of my knowledge, he's been missing about 17 years. Back in 1939, he lived in London with his parents. Average sort of people. Father was a bank clerk. Doesn't seem to have been a particularly ambitious sort of father. Hadn't much ambition for his son, either. Yes, when the boy left school, his father arranged for him to work in the same bank. And this young Raymond did, well, for a few months. He hated it, according to all reports. He wanted to join up, but he was underage.
I see.
Yes, his father, James Shortley, to be exact, refused to give his permission. So the son left home and enlisted under another name.
Well, not the only guy to do that.
No.
Do you know the name he enlisted under?
Oh, I'm afraid not.
I guess he joined the army, huh?
We're not even certain of that.
Oh.
No, I imagine he bought a false identity card somehow. I believe people can get hold of these things. At any rate, the boy cleared out. And 6 months later, both his parents were unfortunately killed in a bomb blast. There was no will ever found, and the missing son became the natural heir.
Well, how much money does the bank clerk leave?
Well, James Shortley left only a few £100. But you see, he had a brother in Canada who died 4 months ago, leaving his entire estate to James. Of course, not knowing that his brother was dead.
I see.
Well, by law, that money is inherited by Raymond Shortley.
How much is involved?
Oh, after taxes and death duties have been deducted, plus all charges, the net residue is about £40,000.
Very nice.
Yes, except that we have no idea where our man is living or under what name.
Well, my chief has a habit of handing me the tough ones. Still, if we can find them, it'll make quite a story.
You're going to try, Mr. Conroy?
Starting right now. I guess for a beginning, you'd better give me his former address, huh?
Yes, I have that here. 29 Norchester Terrace, Chiswick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, but that home was destroyed when the parents were killed, Conroy.
Well, there must be neighbors who remember them. I've got to start somewhere. Thanks a lot, Mr. Page. I'll keep in touch. I left the lawyer's office and took a tube train to Chiswick. In Norchester Terrace, the houses were new, and right from the start, it looked discouraging.
Yes?
Good morning, ma'am. I want to make some inquiries about a family who lived here back in 1940.
1940? Mr. Arnie moved here a year ago. Sorry.
It was like that with variations all the way down the street. Even at number 29, now rebuilt as a shop, nobody could remember the name of Shortley.
There's your change, Mrs. Reese.
Thank you kindly, Mr. Enty. Looks like a nice day by way of a change.
Now then, mister, you were asking me about somebody named... who was it again?
Shortley. People who lived here in 1940. They had a house on this very site.
No, afraid I can't help. We bought the place in 46 and it was a shop then. I think it was built about a year before. I've never heard mention of anybody named Shortley.
Well, maybe you can put me on to someone who's lived here since before the war.
Since before the war, eh? Well, most of the folk here moved in when they rebuilt the street. It was all pretty badly damaged by bombs.
Uh-huh.
None of them could help. Oh, wait a minute. I know.
Yeah?
The old lady who just left, Mrs. Reese. The one who came in when you first started talking to
her. She's lived here since before the war?
Oh, lived here for years. You might be able to catch her up if you hurry. But otherwise, well, she should be in again tomorrow.
I'll catch her. Thanks a lot. Mrs. Reese? Mrs. Reese?
You calling me, young man?
Yeah, lucky I caught you. Hey, look, ma'am, back there in the shop, they told me that you've lived around here most of your life.
Most of my life? All my life?
Well, I'm trying to find out about some people who lived here in 1940, name of Shortley.
Oh, James and Mary Shortley.
Yeah, that's the ones. Did you know them?
Oh, know them? My soul, I used to live next door, here in Norchester Terrace. I've moved now over to Garth's.
You live next door, huh? Mm-hmm. Look, ma'am, can I talk to you about this? It's pretty important.
Oh. Well, young man, if you want to talk to me, you'd better come home and talk over a cup of tea. American, aren't you?
That's right.
I suppose you want coffee. I'll never keep it in the house.
Mrs. Rees, tea will just be fine. Now, if you don't mind, how about letting me carry some of these parcels, huh?
Canoy, so young Ray Shortley's come into money, has he? And now you're looking for him.
That's right.
James often used to speak of his well-to-do brother in Canada. Just a touch of envy it was. But James himself was not one to make money.
Well, it would have been his if he'd lived.
Yes, but he had no luck, did James?
Oh.
Ah, they were killed the night of the big August raid, when most of the terrace was destroyed. When Ray came back in his fine navy uniform to make his peace with him, it was me who had to tell him what happened.
Naval uniform, huh?
He was always crazy about the sea, that boy.
He actually came back after his parents had been killed, and he was in the Navy.
Would I be mistaken about that, with my own man a sailor in his time?
I guess not.
But I've not seen him since that day. If it's help you want, then Maggie Sims might be the one to ask.
Maggie Sims?
She's Maggie Crane now, married and with a family. But I'll warrant she's not forgotten the color of young Raymond's eyes.
Oh, I get it.
You make sure you're seeing her when her husband's not at home, Mr. Canoy. He might not want to be hearing about Ray shortly.
I got the address and went to see Maggie Crane, who lived in a small cottage less than half a mile away. She was a woman in her late 20s, still showing a trace of what once must have been good looks, but now pretty dimmed by years of hardship and disappointment.
Ray? Yes, of course I remember Ray. You're not from the police, are you?
I'm a newspaper man, ma'am. I'm trying to locate him because, well, a relation of his wants him found.
Oh. Oh, I thought he might have done something wrong. I wouldn't like to see him in trouble, even after all that happened.
Well, you knew him pretty well?
I should say I did. I was married to him.
What?
You don't believe me? Look it up in the records.
When was this?
When he came back on leave, that time his parents was killed. He came to see me and he was all upset. Some of my friends said that was the only reason I caught him, but it wasn't true. He was really in love with me.
You remember the date of your marriage?
Well, I guess he wouldn't, but I do. August 27th, 1940.
Oh, you were both minors, huh?
Oh, my parents didn't object and his were dead.
Yeah, well, I guess that's right. What was the name you married under?
The name Ray took when he left home. Conway. Mr. and Mrs. Raymond Conway. He said it was going to be forever.
What happened?
Well, we moved away from this district. Well, that's why a lot of people never knew about us being married.
Oh.
I took a small place up in Scotland where he was stationed. Sometimes they were away for months at sea, but he always came back. Until that other woman got her hands on him, we were very happy.
What other woman is this?
Well, I don't know who she was or where she lived. He told me about her, just like that one day. He said he was going to leave me. Oh, I fought and... Oh, well, it's not interesting to you. In the end, he did leave. I will say he gave me all the money he could to keep me and Paul going. And he sent some later when I moved back here.
I see.
Then after a while, I got a divorce and married Jim Crane. Maybe life isn't so exciting with Jim, but at least he earns steady money and... At least I know you'll come home every night on time.
You haven't seen your first husband since that time, huh?
Oh, never once.
Hey, you mentioned somebody named Paul. Who's he?
Paul's my son. Ray's in mine.
It was slow, but it was progress. A son by any name was a rightful heir, and if Ray shortly was found to be dead, the boy stood to inherit a small fortune. I communicated that fact to the lawyers, then went straight to the logical place to carry the search further. At the Naval Records Office, I explained my mission and, with official help, was able to trace my quarry's progress under the name of Conway through several ships and over 5 years of war. Finally, I obtained the address that he'd given on being discharged in 1946.
There you are, Mr. Conway, number 4, Warren Place, Bayswater. But that was 11 years ago. I wouldn't count on still finding him there.
Bayswater is a London suburb of rooming houses and small hotels set across the park from Kensington and Knightsbridge. A one-time area of great wealth, now being broken up. Number 4 Warren Place was a private hotel. It was early evening when I pressed the door buzzer.
Hello? Looking for someone?
Yeah, I was wondering if I'd still find Ray Conway here.
Conway? Bloody mate, you just lifted.
Just a
bit. Yeah, about 8 flaming years.
Oh.
I haven't seen Conway since 49. Who are you, a friend of his?
Yeah, well, look, it's quite a story. Maybe if I told you some of the details, then you could help me, eh?
Even if you never tell. American, aren't you?
Yeah.
I suppose I can overlook that. Come on in, I've got a bottle. We can crack it and I'll listen to this story of yours.
Well, I'll be killed. You mean to say these lawyers want you to find out Con and that his name ain't Conway at all?
Maybe that's quite a story.
You and he were shipmates, weren't you?
Certainly were. 5 rotten years of it.
Yeah, look, after he got out of the Navy, he stayed here with you for about a year, did he?
About that.
Working?
Oh, here and there. I ran the private hotel and sometimes he helped me. Just thought he couldn't settle down, you know. He always had this hankering to go back to Tangier.
Tangier? In Morocco?
That's the place. What a place.
Go back, you said. Had he been there before?
Well, we were on a convoy run there near the end of the war. Con and me used to get ashore quite a bit, one way and another. He, got to know a few people there. One of them was this girl.
Girl?
Oh, smash. French she was. Name of Annette Delarette.
You think, Shortley or Conway, as you knew him, went back to see her?
Well, I think he might have gone back to a lot of things. He wrote to someone he knew over in Tangier, and all of a sudden he got very secretive about things. Just said he was going, and left.
Pretty abrupt, wasn't it? After being friends for so long.
Oh, he was like that. I don't know what he's mixed up in now. I wouldn't have told you this much. Only there's some money coming to him, he might as well have it.
Well, once we find him, the money will be his. You better tell me where I can find this girl in Tangier.
No, you can't have that.
It's on the cards.
Well, if you see the old so-and-so, tell him Herb is still kicking along. Ask him what's wrong with his riding arm.
Sure, I'll do that. Now, what about this girl?
Well, she used to work at a cabaret place called the Devil's Tooth. You'll find it all right. Everybody knows it in Tangier.
It took me a day to get a reservation. 48 hours later, I was in Tangier. I booked into a hotel, waited for nightfall, and found a cabaret called the Devil's Tooth, a place in the Arab quarter, patronized by people of all nationalities.
Monsieur, which is for a table?
Yeah, get me a table up front for two, will you? And ask Mademoiselle Delarey if she'll join me for a drink.
Monsieur, Mademoiselle is the star of our show. It is not customary for her to drink with the patron.
Look, show the lady this card, will you? Tell her it's about a guy called Conway.
Conway?
Yeah.
Very well, monsieur. Please, if you will come with me, I shall find you a table and take your card to Mademoiselle.
Monsieur Conway?
Mademoiselle Delarey?
Everybody calls me Annette. What are you drinking?
Well, it says on the bottle, scotch.
Philippe? Well, take it away and bring us something decent to drink. You like Cointreau, monsieur?
Oh, sure.
Cointreau, Philippe. This scotch is all second rate, monsieur Conway. Like most of the patrol.
No. What about Ray Conway?
What about him? You tell me.
Well, you read what I'd written on the back of the card.
That you wanted to find him. Thanks, I read it. Because he has inherited some money. I wish I could help you, monsieur.
Does that mean you won't?
It means I can't. Con has not been here in Tangier for a long time.
He came back here after the war.
For a few brief months. But he did not like it here in the sun. He did not like life when it was simple and easy and uncomplicated.
Where did he check out to?
He never told me.
You know, I find that hard to believe.
You will love this Cointreau, monsieur. I only wish I could stay to share it with you. Unhappily, I am on stage in a moment.
Yeah, never mind the Cointreau, lady, or the stage for just a moment. I figure you're tampering with the truth a little. If I was a guy like Conway, I sure wouldn't walk out and leave a girl like you.
Ah, you Americans are great flatterers, Monsieur Conway. But I'm sorry. I have no more time.
Listen, I'm staying at the Cosmopolitan. I'll be there for a couple more days. If you decide to change your mind... Annette!
Your fond promise here. I trust you find it and everything else to your satisfaction.
I stayed on for a while at the Devil's Tooth, hoping to get another chance to talk with Annette Delarey, but time passed and she didn't appear. Finally, I left the nightclub, walked out into the Arab quarter of Tangier, down to the harbor, trying to figure the angles in this strange search which an editor's hunch had made into my particular problem. After an hour or so, I returned to the hotel, picked up my key at the desk, and went upstairs. I opened the door. Too late, I realized the light was on. And too late, I saw the waiter from the Devil's Tooth sitting in the chair beside the bed. with a Luger in his hand.
Come in, Conoy. Shut the door. I wish you to meet a friend of mine.
There were two men in the room, the waiter from the Devil's Tooth and another man, large, around the girth, with dark eyes and no hair. Okay, let's have it. What are you doing here, Buster, and who's your fat friend?
Easy does it, Conoy. This is Mr. Camilos. He wants to talk to you.
Camilos? Greek?
The name is Greek, Mr. Conoy. But my citizenship extends to many different countries.
Just who are you?
Among other things, I own the Devil's Tooth.
Yeah? Well, that still doesn't add up to anything.
I am also a friend of Conway.
Well, then if you're a friend, maybe you can be smarter than the doll who sings for you. I want to find this guy.
I must say, for a policeman, you have a nerve, Mr. Conway. Do you not know that if I so much as raised my arm, Philippe would kill you?
Well, two things I'll bank on, Carmelos. First, you won't raise your arm. And second, I'm no policeman. I'm a reporter. I'm trying to find Conway because he's come into some money. I told that to Annette.
He didn't believe you. And nor does Conway.
Well, I guess the news that he's around isn't really much of a surprise. Buster here certainly reacted when I mentioned the name first in your night spot tonight.
We want to know why you are here and what organization you are really working for.
Look, I don't think you'd recognize the truth when it's served up to you. Give me a few hours and I can get credentials from lawyers in London or from Paris. Better still, ask Conway if he remembers his uncle in Canada.
Well, I
Go on, call the guy. The phone's at your disposal.
Very well. We'll see. Watch him, Philippe.
But me, I don't argue with Lugers. In silence, the Greek Carmelos picked up the phone and dialed a number. While we watched, he spoke briefly to a voice at the other end of the line and finally put the phone down, apparently satisfied.
All right, Mr. Conway. You're to come with us. We will take you to meet Conway. Go in, Mr. Conroy.
Hello, Conroy. So, you're the man who's been asking all the questions, eh?
You're Ray Shortley?
Yeah, I was. The name's Conway now. Sit down and have a drink.
A drink?
Yeah, go ahead. It won't be drugged. You can relax, Conroy. I've been doing some fast checking up on you. A column called Europe Confidential, isn't it?
That's right.
How much did Uncle Bernard leave me?
It works out to be about 40,000 pounds.
That double he did. Well, life's quite a joke, isn't it? My old man could have been on top of the world with money like that. So could I once.
And now?
Now we bring in double that every month. Ah, it's chicken feed.
Well, nice to be able to think so. What's the profitable sideline?
Well, I wonder what to tell you, because there's not much you or anyone else can do about it, at least until they catch us. You can even run the story. That won't hurt us. Off Interpol and most of the police forces of Europe have been trying for quite a while. You see, over here from the window, that fleet of ships down there.
Yeah.
They're mine, Conoy, mine and Annette's. Camilo's here works for us, and so do a lot of other people.
Contraband?
The biggest. And the best contraband fleet on the Mediterranean, and we run it.
Mm-hmm.
If you care to look through the field glasses, you'll see down there now the police going over the ships. They can't do a thing, and they know it, but they have to keep up appearances. They can't touch us until they find contraband, and they've never found it yet. But when people like you start asking questions around, we like to find out why.
Well, now you know. I guess I've found you and got a better story than I anticipated, but it still doesn't solve the problem of that inheritance money.
The inheritance money, would it mean going back to England to fix up the details?
I guess it would.
No soap. Scotland Yard is too long a dossier on me to make a trip like that comfortable.
Yeah.
You can send me whatever papers I have to sign, tell the lawyers. Give the money to Maggie and the kid with my love. I think that's the best thing that could happen to it.
Yep, in Tangier, I finally came to the end of the trail. And Ray Conway, who defies the police of a dozen nations, duly made over his share of the inheritance to his former wife and his son. I carried the document back to London. Yeah, it was quite a hunch the chief had the day he saw that advertisement in the paper.
Anyone knowing the whereabouts of Raymond Shortley, an Englishman aged 35, believed living abroad, is asked to communicate with Page and Parker, solicitors, Farringdon Lane, London, East Centre 3.
Mm-hmm.
You have been listening to Lionel Merton as Mike Conoy in another exciting episode in the series, Europe Confidential.
This is Basil Rathbone again, and that's Mike's story for today. Mysterious, yes, and exciting. But then, that's our aim. These stories are exciting. That's why they're worth telling. We hope you will join us next time. Now, goodbye till we meet again for another of the world's greatest mysteries.